Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And wherever you might be spending your dog days of summer, we welcome you to Talking.Golf. I'm Rob Hernandez. He's Gary D'Amato. And yes, indeed, the month of August is dwindling to a precious few final days. It's been quite an eventful August. It's an eventful weekend, as we'll talk about here on Talking.Golf. And Gary D'Amato, we welcome you in and kind of a chance to collect our thoughts, collect our, catch our breath, play a little golf. And yet, you know, we both were at tournaments this week where we had some interesting stories to write about. And this weekend, we're following the exploits of Steve Stricker returning to the PGA Tour Champions at the Ally Challenge in Grand Blanc, Michigan, and also Mario Tiziani, Jerry Kelly, and Dan Forsman. So it's even though we're inching closer and closer to Labor Day, it is not yet the end of the golf season.
Well, first of all, Rob, I have to ask you, our listeners can't see this, but is that the 16th hole at Century World commemorizing a poster behind you or a photo?
It is. And, you know, I haven't looked at it lately, but it does look like it looked like at the State Open. And, you know, that with the day that we had the playoff, and we really didn't talk about this because we had a lot of other things to talk about in regards to the State Open. But the one thing that stood out to you and me going back to Century World about 6 weeks after the U.S. Senior Open was how vibrant the flower hole was. They really wanted to look in, you know, as it did at the State Open, over 4th of July weekend, and it just didn't pop. But there was one picture in particular. You and I both loved that hole, and we took and posted on Twitter, you know, dozens of photos from 16.
Yeah.
I had one, and you can see it in the picture behind me, but if you go to my Twitter account and look back at some of the State Open pictures from that playoff day, the picture of the yellow flowers, they look in this picture a lot like they did, this last visit here for the State Open. And, man, I tell you, there's nothing like that hole. It's just amazing.
Well, it's funny because that photo that's behind you, and it looks like it's maybe like 16 by 20 or some such, pretty close. But I'm having one made too, the exact same photo. We were probably standing in the same spot, I think, where I took mine. And I can't wait for that to arrive. I'm going to hang that somewhere in my house. So I couldn't help but notice all the color behind you. And I thought it was the 16th hole, but wasn't sure.
Yeah, this is one from a photo we got from Century a couple years ago. We moved to California, had this big space on the wall in my office, and fortunately the office setup kind of translated and moved to Arizona. So I guess before we get to what we're going to talk about, that brings up a good point. We've got the 16th hole at Century World, and then if I were to have a close second in my book for picturesque holes, it would be one of the par threes along Lake Michigan at the Whistling Straits. But are there others that I'm missing in terms of just, I suppose we could throw Erin Hills with anything that has Holy Hill in the background, right?
Yeah. And even like a photo of the ninth green at Erin Hills taken from the tee, looking down at that green surrounded by all those nasty bunkers. That always makes a cool photo too. I've seen a lot of really cool photos taken from that vantage point, but yeah, anything with Holy Hill in the background, and the clubhouse up on the hill at Erin Hills is going to be pretty good looking. In fact, that's the wallpaper on my laptop, Rob, is that exact photo of Erin Hills, the clubhouse, and Holy Hill in the background.
Okay, so we've got three vantage points. This is for all you people that are going out this fall to play golf, and, you know, and especially when the leaves start turning. And so let's continue on this. You were just at Peninsula State Park. The view from the eighth tee box looking down on the green, but then looking straight out at the bay, I think is another one that, you know, I've seen photographed differently. I don't think there's a definitive shot from Peninsula State Park, but one of those areas, high over the road, I think is one that is able to capture both the beauty of the golf course and the beauty of the water behind it.
For sure. And well, you know, I just thought of another one is the 14th tee box at Nagawaki, the par five that goes downhill with the lake in the background. Yep. That's another. I know a lot of people have wedding photos taken up there on that tee box. So yeah, that's a beautiful spot too. If we sat here for a half hour, we could probably think of another 50 holes that, in Wisconsin that that are, you know, beautiful and that are photographed by people.
Yeah, especially because for a while there, you know, signature holes were so, you know, the thing with all these, you know, whenever a new course opened, you know, what is your signature hole? And, you know, it's when University Ridge opened, it was 16 with all the bunkers. And that's, you know, that looks, I don't think it looks as picturesque as it does different because you're not used to seeing a par five with that many bunkers, especially kind of facing you because you can see the sand in all of them given that the fairway goes back uphill from the tee box and, or at least from the landing area. And that's, you know, a pretty picturesque hole too, but, a lot of water holes in Wisconsin. I think, you know, you could go to the replica course up at, Northern Bay and with their island green. There's an island green down at the, Spring Creek par three course north of Whitewater that, mm-hmm. is always fun to play. And of course, anytime that you get tee box water green with nothing else, it makes for a great picture. And then, you know, there's just so many great courses that are, you know, tree lined that have a lot of beauty. The first time I ever played University Ridge before it opened, number 10 was that just looked like, you know, undisturbed, you know, real estate, never been played. And it was tree lined, even thicker on the left side where that you can see the maintenance, building now. And that was, you know, that you don't see that out here in Arizona. You don't see it down in Florida. It's a very much a Wisconsin thing. And then we could probably talk about, I haven't been to Minocqua Country Club yet. I think maybe you have. And
I have not. No.
I have not either. So we got to get up there. And,
yeah.
You know, because I know as good as Timber Ridge is, as good as Eagle River Golf Course is, and St. Germain, I haven't been to either. Trout Lake and North Woods in Rhinelander. You know, all those courses have, you know, tree lined vantage points. And, well, and then, so two other ones though. Dennis McCann would yell at us. In fact, he would, if we didn't say Apostle Highlands, right? I mean, Apostle right. Highlands overlooking the bay up by Superior is, and Bayfield is a great, great golf course.
It is. And some of the views on Apostle Highlands are, you know, as you're facing the hole on some of those holes with the bay in the background are beautiful. But on some of the holes, when you're halfway up toward the green, if you turn around and look back toward the tee, some of those views of the bay and the islands in the distance are just, they're spectacular.
Another one that nobody knows about, Rob Schultz, our former golf writing colleague from the Capital Times, in Madison, was really big on Birchwood Golf Course. And I haven't been here. Birchwood Golf Course in Keeler down by Cuba City overlooks the Mississippi River and you can see Dubuque from some of the holes down there, but it's a mom and pop nine holer. And, so there's another one. And then, of course, the one that we can't, you just can't walk in off the street and play is the 18th hole at Bishop's Bay with the green overlooking Lake Mendota with the Capitol in the background. I mean, that is, I've got a picture of Nikki and Bobby Stricker that I took at a city women's championship before I left the State Journal. And, they're looking across the lake and at that point in Bobby's career, she had just, you know, Nikki was caddying for Bobby. It was, kind of looked like they were gazing into the future as much as they were across the lake. And here we are, you know, another 6 years later and, you know, Bobby's out of college playing, you know, she'll be playing in the LPGA Q school next week, but, we're blessed with a lot of great, views and on a lot of great golf courses. So every single one has something.
Well, and I'm sorry, I got a sidetrack just mentioning that photo behind you. Yeah, we could make an entire podcast about beautiful holes in Wisconsin, but I apologize. I sidetracked you, Rob.
No, that's good. And I guess what we should tell our listeners is if you see this, or if you're listening to this and you have one that we're missed, we'll be happy to pick up the conversation in a future episode of Talking Down Golf and either drop us an email, or reach out to us on Twitter once the podcast posts and we'd be happy to talk more about, beautiful golf courses, or golf holes in Wisconsin. And, which one would you have framed? That'd be the question, because, tell you what, it's you know, this wasn't too expensive behind me here, Gary, and it's fun to put stuff on canvas. I just think it's, you know, I could fill a whole room full of golf pictures.
Yeah. Mine actually, that exact photo should be arriving within a day or two.
Where are you going to put it?
We've got a sunroom, and we've got a spot picked out above the door in our sunroom. Okay. It's a big kind of open yeah. triangular space, and that'll be perfect in there because our sunroom is painted yellow, so the yellow flowers are really going to pop.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, we as I mentioned earlier, you know, we kind of have stories pop up that, you know, when we least expect them. And, I got a text message this week from Connor Stange of the, PGA Tour Champions media staff. He wanted to alert me of something he had written on the, PGA Tour Champions website about Steve Stricker. And, it turned out to be a whole collection of, charts and, graphics and statistics about Stricker's, really remarkable season here in 2023 on the senior tour. And, Gary, I don't even know where to start. I mean, you've documented a number of these, you know, consecutive top 10 finishes, and the like. Obviously we talked a lot, since it ended at the U.S. Senior Open, but his, streak this year of, rounds of par or better. But, I mean, it's amazing. I guess I'll go to the stat that didn't have a chart with it. And it's the fact that he's had 10 top two finishes and 13 starts this year, which means he's beaten or tied 1,101 of 1,121 competitors he's faced. That's 98.22% of the field. That's staggering.
That is staggering. That was my second favorite stat, Rob. The favorite one was the fact that as of right now, his scoring average is a half stroke lower than the PGA Tour's all-time record, which is considerable. I mean, a half a stroke is a big chunk, as you know. And to say that he's probably going to finish the season with the lowest scoring average ever on PGA Tour champions is just, I mean, that alone just tells you how he's played all year.
That's a good point. And currently that's held by Fred Couples, who had a 67.96 in 2010. Stricker currently at 67.44. And, I tell you, it takes some pretty deft playing to be able to do that consistently and average that low, even on the Champions Tour. So, yeah. And then the two spots after, which would be Stricker and Couples by the end of the year. Bernhard Langer with a pair of 68.03s. Amazing that Langer can shoot the same scoring average in 2014 and 2017. The guy's a robot? I mean, he's like an Iron Byron. He's the same swing, the same, you know, stats year after year after year. So I guess it shouldn't surprise us.
Yeah, he's been a machine for years and years on that tour. Well, going back to the PGA Tour and Europe where he won just a ton of tournaments overseas. But yeah, some of those stats are just mind blowing. The one you mentioned that he's beaten 98 point some percentage of golfers. Only 20 guys have beaten him in 13 tournaments this year. But that's just, when you think about it, I mean, just one or two 20th place finishes just completely ruins that stat, but he hasn't come close to doing that.
And in the last, six starts, all top two finishes, he's beaten or tied 616 of 618 competitors. He finished T2 with Jerry Kelly at the Principal Charity Classic in Iowa, one shot behind Stephen Ames, and then, of course, finished solo second to Bernhard Langer at the U.S. Senior Open at Century World in Stevens Point. And then the other thing that I added this to the story after I was looking for photos to illustrate, you know, a story that kind of spans the season. He's won five times out there. He won the Mitsubishi Electric Championship of Hawaii at the start of the season with Mario Tiziani in the bag, and then they reunited at the colleague companies. But he won the Regents Tradition with Joe LaCava Jr. He won the KitchenAid Senior PGA with daughter Izzy, and he won the AmFam Championship in Madison, which, you know, was a monumental victory, Gary, because he had never won it, and he was grinding right to do it, and that was with wife Nikki in the bag. And Jimmy Johnson, who caddied for him for many years on the tour, is caddying for him this week at the Ally Challenge, where he's defending his title in Grand Blanc, Michigan. And so, you know, he's not currently in the lead, but he's not far off. A 36-hole day today. He's 400 par as we record the podcast here on a Saturday, and about seven shots behind Paul Goidos. Another week, Gary, where there aren't a lot of proven winners and proven closers ahead of him. Stephen Ames is the one right now that jumps out to me that would be the fly in the ointment for a comeback on Sunday. But you know, again, Steve Stricker's just been remarkable.
Yeah, one of these days I'll have to think long and hard and think about all the different caddies he's won with. I mean, he's won with 7 or 8 different caddies on his bag, which is pretty incredible. He's going to have some work to do this weekend, though, Rob, in the Ally Challenge. He's playing well, but he's, as we record this podcast on Saturday afternoon, he's tied for 18th place. So that means 17 guys are ahead of him right now. I have a feeling it's not going to end that way, but he's going to have to play really well down the stretch here today and then tomorrow.
Yeah, right now, Paul Guido's leading the way. He's 6 under par through 16 holes of his second round, and at 11 under par, leading by 1 over Harrison Frazier and Darren Clark. Jeff Maggart, Stephen Ames tied for 4th. Vijay Singh alone in 6th. And then we hit, let's see here, Mario Tiziani just bogeyed a hole to go from 6 under back to 5. He bogeyed 18, making the turn. So he's still got 8 holes to improve. He's currently T13. Mario trying to, again, climb up that Charles Schwab Cup money list, A, to try to get in the playoffs for the second year in a row, and B, to try to get inside, I believe it's the top 40, is it, Gary? 45, that if you aren't exempt through other categories, that's the area that you can retain exempt status without going back to Q school, and that obviously would be the big goal for Mario. Jerry Kelly, 1 under through 12 holes in his afternoon round, and 1 under for the tournament, T47. The aforementioned Dan Forsman, our friend out of Rhinelander, Wisconsin, he is 1 under for the second round, 1 over for the tournament. Dan getting a number of starts here of late back on the PGA Tour Champions, and trying to make the most of those as well. He's T56. But as you look at, you know, Stricker going forward, Gary, you know, I mentioned in the story, we haven't seen him play. He's never competed after October 10th on the PGA Tour Champions in the last 5 seasons since turning 50, and just 7 starts after Labor Day. And you would think that he would compete this year after Labor Day in the 2 titles that he has to defend at the Sanford International in September in South Dakota, and then the Constellation Furyk and Friends down in Florida in October. But, you know, he's also got the Ryder Cup on his mind. He's that team will be finalized after the Tour Championship this weekend. And then there's a lot of responsibility as a vice captain under Zach Johnson for that.
Yeah, absolutely. That that throws at least a 2-week, wrench into whatever schedule he might have, the playing schedule he might have. I mean, the Ryder Cup's only 3 days, but there's all the preparation. I think you wrote that the team's going over there pretty soon, I think, right, Rob? And Steve will be expected to be with the team when they go over to get us a practice round. So, yeah, that's going to be a big commitment, and it obviously will affect, you know, what tournaments he plays and what tournaments he chooses to skip down the stretch here.
And I know listening to Dennis Tiziani show on the Madison and Milwaukee and I guess Green Bay markets now on Monday nights. When Steve came on last week, he had just gotten off the phone with Zach Johnson as they continue to figure out, they've got the 6. So they've got the 6 automatics, right? Those are pretty well set.
I believe so.
And we're looking at the 6 at larges what they were talking about was, Brooks Koepka falling off the automatics and now needing a captain's pick in theory, but playing well enough where maybe he doesn't, you know, that's not really not really anything that is going to be a big deal. But, you know, Zach still has to call his number and still has to dial him up and say, Brooks, you know, you're coming along. And then the question is, does DeChambeau come with? And then who do you leave off from guys that are loyal to the tour and, you know, who spent the last 2 years trying to earn their points? That's the big question.
Yeah, the big one is going to be Justin Thomas. What does he do with Justin, who's a ferocious competitor, has a great record in match play events, President's Cup and Ryder Cup, sort of really inspires the team in the locker room, but has not had a very good year and, you know, really tried to make the team down the stretch here and came up short. So, what do you do with Justin? I saw some quotes from Jeff Ogilvy, former U.S. Open champion and tour player, that he said Zach would be crazy to leave Justin Thomas off the team because he's so good in that team element and in team competition. So, yeah, some tough decisions for Zach coming up, and he's got to make them in a couple of days here.
And you wonder if you put Justin Thomas on, do you leave Ricky Fowler off despite Ricky having a great end of the season? Well, a great season period. And he's kind of, you know, resurfaced. It's funny. Jordan Spieth was struggling a couple years ago and Fowler and Thomas were playing fine. And then, you know, Ricky Fowler went into his dive and now he's back. And at the same time, Justin Thomas not nearly where he wants to be in the world of golf, not making the playoffs. So it's a bizarre situation from where we were a couple years ago, leaving Whistling Straits to where we are now. I mean, it's just, and I think, you know, so if we're thinking that Steve Stricker is just going to, you know, tag along and watch some, you know, the Ryder Cup at Marco Simone, I mean, Zach Johnson's going to lean on these guys. He's going to lean on Stricker. He's going to lean on Davis Love and certainly Fred Couples, all former Ryder Cup captains to get through this. And, you know, the record overseas speaks for itself. It's been decades since this team has won on foreign soil. So we can't underestimate what that period of time at the end of September in Rome is going to mean on the run up to it. And then for Steve, you know, coming off of that, I mean, it's going to be a pretty intense week. And we're heading into hunting season and how are you going to balance that? And luckily, I think, you know, I don't think there's any expectation for him to play in the PGA Tour Champions playoffs, the Schwab Cup playoffs, until Phoenix. And I think, and I asked Connor Stange, I said, you know, is there any, you know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what Steve's going to do. He hasn't said anything publicly. And I'm in, and, you know, nobody knows. I don't know if Miller Brady, the PGA Tour Champions president is putting any pressure on through Schwab to make sure Steve's there. But, you know, I mean, it would really, I think, hurt the final leg to not have the number one guy in Phoenix.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, you know, Steve probably will feel a little bit of pressure to go there and play in that final leg. But he's got other interests, Rob, as we both know. And, you know, money is no object to him. Obviously, he's not playing for money anymore at this point in his career. He's just playing when he feels like playing and because he loves the game. So we'll have to wait and see what he does regarding the playoffs. But wouldn't surprise me if he didn't show up for him, Rob, because that's been his MO for the last few years.
Well, and then we got to squeeze in here. As we look ahead, both on our podcast and on Steve's personal calendar, discovered Monday that currently wife Nikki is on the tee sheet at the U.S. Women's Senior Amateur Qualifying in Chicago. And I'm not sure how many spots are available there, but I know Nikki's played a lot of golf with the family. We've seen her a lot on some of the social media posts from TPC Wisconsin's soft opening here this summer. And you know, she's always had a beautiful swing, very consistent golfer, great college golfer at Wisconsin for her dad. So it'll be fun to see if she can, you know, sneak in a USGA appearance in a competitive comeback. Bobby Stricker scheduled to compete this week at the LPGA Epson Tour Qualifying School. We'll talk more about that in a minute in Rancho Mirage. And then Izzy Stricker in the middle of a very competitive high school senior season at Wanakee. She's the defending Division I state champion. And, well, I tell you what, Gary, we can talk about that too a little bit later. You know, that's a lot of pressure for Izzy because it seems like Wanakee, Middleton, Wasosha Central, Bayport, Brookfield East, Heartland, Arrowhead, all the powerful schools in the top 10 are playing in a lot of the big tournaments at least once a week. And they just got done with one at Bayport. And, you know, it's right now there's a lot of good competition in and around Izzy in, you know, we're still what, about a month and a half away from her title defense at University Ridge, but, you know, there's a lot of fun golf that the family could be watching there too. So it's one of those great problems to have. And they'll look back at it at the end of the year, probably around Christmas time, and say, boy, what a fun 2023.
Oh, man alive, if will they ever. And, you know, there will be some pressure on Izzy, but a couple of weeks ago when I toured PPC Wisconsin with her grandfather, Dennis Tiziani, we talked about her a little bit, and he just said she's an absolute tiger. She loves the competition. She thrives on it. I mean, she just embraces that kind of pressure. So, sort of like, I guess it runs in the family a little bit. Maybe even more so than Bobby. She's very, very competitive. Not, Bobby certainly is competitive, but Izzy just loves to be in the heat of the battle. So we'll see how she stands up to it this fall, Rob.
Well, so there, you go to wisconsin.gov, check out, all the stats, again, courtesy of Connor at the PGA Tour Champions. And, right now, Mario Tiziani, 500 par, Steve Stricker, 400 par, as they play their second round at the Ally Challenge, at the home of the former Buick Open, over there at Warwick Hills Golf and Country Club in Grand Blanc, Michigan, where, Kate Brody, who's coming to play golf at, Wisconsin, her parents are, I guess, co-head professionals at that golf club. And, so she's, grown up on a PGA Tour, course, and she and Izzy Stricker will be teammates, starting in the fall of 2024. Also, around the globe playing golf, this week, the PGA Tour Canada back in action after a couple weeks off, and George Kneiser, currently working on a 200 par round in the third round, at the, Manitoba Open. And, he is currently 9 under par, T18. Minus 14 leading the way, three golfers there. But the entire Wisconsin contingent packed within one shot of each other. Thomas Longbella, who opened 66-74, shot 68 on Saturday in the third round. He's tied for 23rd with Jordan Hahn, the former Badger, who opened 68-69. He just finished off a 1 under par round of 71. And Harrison Ott, who finished runner-up at the Wisconsin State Open, 67-68. And he is currently 1 over through 14 holes and at 8 under par in that log jam at T23. Again, there's six, those last three guys, six shots back. George Kneiser, five back as they wind up the third round north of the border. And I know we were tuned a little bit this week to the U.S. Senior Women's Open. Maggie Leaf, our good friend, the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Famer out of Pewaukee, opened with a 75, was right ahead of the cut line, but struggled to an 82 in the second round. She missed the cut by a couple, along with Becky Iverson out of the Bridges Golf Course in Madison, the director of golf there. Becky shot 79-78, but Sue Ginter shoots a 1 under 71 in the third round out in Portland, Oregon, and she is currently 6 over par for the tournament, tied for 18th. The former standout from Appleton, played a little bit on the LPGA Tour, has been a teaching professional in Florida. I'm fascinated. This U.S. Senior Women's Open just gets, to me, more and more special every year. I'm sad that it might be Annika Sorenstam's last time. She's currently T5 with her sister, Carlotta, as they chase Katrina Mathieu. I know how badly Maggie Leaf wanted to qualify for it third time this year, and she got there. And, Sue Ginter, Becky Iverson, I think, yeah, they had Sherry Steinhauer on Tiz's show last week, and Sherry mentioned she might have had a hip replacement or something. And so there was a surgery there that kept her, I think, out of this because she was exempt. And, but the Senior Women's Open is starting to, I think, take hold. It's got a special place on the USGA calendar, Gary.
It does. Yeah. I remember, before a couple years before it started, the knock was that there might not be enough really top competitive female senior players to make for a super competitive Senior Open. But I don't think that's the case anymore, Rob. As you mentioned, that handful of players near the top, near the lead are, exceptional players. And I think the field's just going to get deeper and deeper in that tournament every year. The calendar is just loaded with USGA stuff right now, Rob. We've got the US Senior Amateur coming up. We've got, I just was doing, going through the U.S. Mid-Am, which is, last year at Erin Hills at this time, and now it's coming up starting September 9th, and we have seven golfers with Wisconsin ties in the U.S. Mid-Am, Rob. So, pretty cool, including, Dax Schultz, obviously, Preston Bowiak from, I think he's from West Bend, living in North Carolina now. He played at Erin Hills last year. Jordan Elson qualified for the U.S. Mid-Am, Rob. So there's just a lot of Wisconsin golfers playing in high-profile USGA championships right now.
Yeah, C.J. Brock, the former Badger out of Marshfield, qualified down in Texas. And so there is another familiar face. And, I'm looking forward to that. And the same not as many with the U.S. Women's Mid-Am, but a couple that qualified out of Wisconsin. And so that's coming up. And then you were at the Wisconsin State Senior Amateur up at Lake Wisconsin Country Club in Prairie du Sac this week. And you saw Jim Doing, who I think he's had to do a senior am, and wasn't able to pull off a win at Lake Wisconsin, but was in the hunt there on the final day. What was your takeaway from seeing a competitive golf return to Lake Wisconsin, one of the fun courses in Wisconsin?
It was my first time there, Rob. Yeah, I'd heard so much about Lake Wisconsin. I think it has always been the host of the Badgerland, right? Invitational.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's a fun course, you know, not long, but sharp doglegs, tree length fairways, some elevated greens with fall offs. You can't be above the hole. All that stuff you hear about really fun, good golf courses. This one has. And Jim Doing in the final round was 2 under through 10, 2 birdies, 8 pars, playing great. Moved into the lead and then made a triple bogey on number 12. Just made a mess of the hole and unfortunately didn't, you know, couldn't hold on the win. But that opened the door for Mitch Bowers from Mineral Point, who won his first, you know, major Wisconsin tournament. A guy who started playing golf when he was 33 years old, and he said he was, all these guys he beat this past week were whipping his butt when he first got into tournament golf, and now he finally got them back and won a big tournament. So I was happy for Mitch, and it was a good tournament, Rob.
His daughter Madison, I believe, just wrapped up a great career down at University of Dubuque, qualified for the NCAA Division III championship a couple times, and Mitch, you know, comes from Dodge Point Country Club, where Corey Sokol, who has competed in a lot of you know, amateur stuff, and went to Arizona State University down here in Tempe. And went through their PGM, went back and was, you know, co-owner and is part of the ownership group at Dodge Point Country Club, and has really made that kind of an epicenter of golf down there in southwest Wisconsin, and a fun golf course, old nine that they added on to a number of years ago, and Mitch has been a dominant player in that area for a long time. But you're right, you know, when it comes to the state level, this is, you know, one of the first things that, you know, he's, you know, checked off the bucket list, and it was neat to see. And we also saw, is it Brian Dreup from Minocqua?
Dreup, yep.
Dreup, and, you know, and he's had a good run in the senior am. Terry Flesch out of Fond du Lac, you know, I think he was a former club professional for a while and got his amateur standing back many, many years ago, but has been very steady. And then you get into the list of guys that we, you know, talk a lot about here on, you know, on Talking.Golf, Bob Gregorski, Ed Zerbeck, you know, that group. And you know, we're blessed with not only quality at each level of golf, but we've also got a deep talent of those quality golfers developing here. And it's fun to see how they kind of sort themselves out.
Yeah, it was a big field for the state senior amateur tour, Rob. I think it started out at well over 100 players, and you know, a lot of guys in that tournament unfortunately withdraw because of injuries and stuff. But a deep field with, you know, I think there's 25 or 30 guys now in our state who can win a state senior amateur. It's one of the deeper events, I think, where there's a number of people who can win compared to some other tournaments maybe in the state. Any one of those guys you mentioned could have won, and happy for Mitch that he came out on top.
And we should mention, too, they also do a wonderful job of dividing up the field. There's a super senior division for 60-plus. Richard Feil of Lake Geneva won that by 3 shots over John Golden of Cross Plains. And then down at the Legends division, we would be remiss if we didn't say that Randy Warbuck finally took a couple days off from volunteering as a rules official. He seems like every single day during the week throughout the summer, he's at a different WSGA event in that capacity. He shot 76 and won the Legends division for guys 70 and older by 3 shots over another legend, Clark Eichstedt out of Kewaskum. And so it was really, I think, brought a lot of smile to people's faces to see Randy Warbuck hoist the trophy.
Very, very popular guy and player, former president of the Wisconsin State Golf Association, and a talented guy who played on a college golf with Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite back years ago at Texas, Rob. So, yeah, everyone, there was a lot of applause when they announced that Randy was the winner of that Legends division.
I think all you got to do, if you know, we're both friends with him on Facebook, and you look at the congratulations he got on that. I saw JP Hayes. I saw Dave Miley, just to name a couple of former legends themselves that, you know, Jeff Ratter, Rob Morani, you know, the list goes on of people that, you know, reached out. Katie Falk, another legend in her own right, wishing, you know, Randy, you know, well on that victory. So that was a very popular win there. And then, I got to cover, from afar the, final junior golf major of the season on the, summer calendar. And it was the boys only event since the girls are into their high school, season. It was the Mike Schnarr Championship at Blackhawk Country Club. And Charlie Erlandson, went one extra hole to beat Al Dang in a playoff to win the, first year of the Mike Schnarr being a 54-hole championship. Charlie shot 68, 69, 68. Al shot 70, 70, 65. And they were seven shots ahead of the field. Casey Nicol out of Wanakee finished third. But it was interesting because, you know, I've mentioned several times on this podcast, Gary, that we, you know, I've known Al since he started playing junior golf 10 years ago now. Went back and looked on Blue Golf, and he started playing in some of the futures events 10 years ago. But Charlie reminded me that when Charlie Erlandson out of Madison broke into junior golf, I think it was only 6 years ago, it was at a junior event at Janesville Riverside, and he was in the same pairing as Al Dang and I believe it was Brady Culmer out of Edgerton. And so that's the first time that Charlie ever teed it up. They were in the 12 and 13 age group. Al finished T2 that day in that group with an 87, and Charlie with a 104, made just one par in the day. And now both of them are headed to the University of Wisconsin. Neither one will be playing golf there for the Badgers this fall. Al might be playing, will likely be playing club golf for the Badgers, and Charlie Erlandson will almost certainly be on the Badgers roster for the 2024-2025 season. We've been monitoring that. I know that Coach Mike Wilson has been following him a lot this summer, and we would expect that that would be the case. And but what a neat story. It was like a full circle moment in junior golf for these two kids. And then they, you know, they played some spectacular golf. Al was, I believe it was 5 under par 31 on the front nine at Blackhawk to pass Charlie on the final round. And then Charlie birdies the first four holes on the back nine and shoots 32. Al's only bogey came on 18 in regulation to fall into the playoff. And then Charlie wins with a long birdie putt on the first playoff hole. Again, you know, in a summer full of great golf, Gary, there's another example of how good it is.
Well, Charlie's had a great summer, Rob. I mean, he nearly won the State Boys Junior, too, losing that tournament in a playoff to Andrew Brower a couple weeks back. So he's had a great summer. And considering that, as you pointed out, I think in your story, he's been a high school quarterback. So he's gotten into football season at the tail end of the golf competitive season in the summer. So there's stuff he hasn't been able to play in the last few years that he was able to play in this year. And really talented athlete, obviously, you know, great, great high school quarterback, very good one, and a talented golfer who's, I think, only going to get better.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. We talked about Steve Stricker not playing much after Labor Day. Charlie, the last few years, has not played anything after the middle of July. You know, the 7-on-7 camps in late July. And then usually high schools will have their youth football camp the week before practice so that, you know, you can get in that, you know, that football mindset. And then you know, this year, I think it was equipment was handed out July 31st. First practice was August 1st. So it was a huge commitment. And Charlie, an all conference quarterback, very talented. And it'll be neat to see him take that competitive mindset to the Badgers in a couple years time. But, boy, you know, we talk about the depth of field in the senior amateur level, but, you know, the junior amateur is the same way. Now, Aiden Cudney was, I think, off playing an AJG event this week, so he wasn't in the field, but Mason Hopp finished fifth. William Harned, who's, you know, former junior player of the year who spends his summer in Neshota, he's a Badger come 2024 as well. He finished fourth. Deegan Riley finished T6, and we bring that up, Gary, because the college golf season quietly got underway this week with Madison College on a Friday down at Park Hills Golf Course at Freeport, and Deegan Riley finished second in that tournament playing for Madison College's Navy team, shot 74-71, and that team shot 294, 305, and won the season opener by 4 shots over Illinois Central College. Very deep team this fall at Madison College, and they're moving from the Division III ranks in the NJCAA to Division II, where they can have athletic scholarships. And and they've got a really good incoming freshman class with a number of guys who, you know, coming off of a competitive junior season. Jacob Brown out of Racine finished T5. Henry Pickard out of Madison finished T5. And then Brady Calmer out of Edgerton finished T9. So already we talked last week about all that we're expecting in the Division I ranks, but don't sleep on Madison College, Gary D'Amato.
No, I won't fall asleep on Madison College, I promise, Rob. Jacob Brownie, I've got a newspaper right in front of me, Rob, the Racine Journal-Times, and Jacob, our good friend Rob Lehrer, who, I hired back in the day, 40 years ago, I think it was. Rob wrote a big story on Jacob Brown being the All Racine County Boys Player of the Year from this past season. I don't know why the story ran in August, Rob, but it's pretty cool to see what Rob is up to, our good friend, and Jacob Brown following the footsteps of an older brother and his father.
Yeah, Connor, I believe up at UW Eau Claire, and then if, you know, Charlie Brown has been a dominant player in the Wisconsin section of the PGA for many, many years, and saw him again up at the State Open in Stevens Point. So it'll be fun to watch. You know, we've got so much great golf at all these levels and as the college season gets underway. And as I mentioned, the high school girls season has been spectacular with two-time defending Division I champ with Social Central and the Walker sisters. Caitlin and Kylie have all of a sudden taken turns breaking 70. And if that's going to be the case, Gary, it's going to be hard to catch the Falcons. And first-year coach Mark Olson, our friend from UW Parkside and the Wasosa Central boys team taking over for Ryan Dahl. And they've kind of made a statement about the fact that they're ready and raring to go. They've got a great freshman in Camille DeLost, and then I believe Chloe Brown comes back for her senior year as well. So a really solid top four. But good stuff with the Walker twins, who are headed to Ferris State in the fall. I'll be writing about that soon. It'll be the first story, Gary, the first recruiting story that I've got to tell, where they answered the questions together. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's cool, and rightly so. I mean, they said it made no sense to provide me the same answers from two different individuals for doing the same thing, and it'll be a good story. And I tell you what, Ferris State's getting a couple of dynamite players for the Division II level, and then at the Division II level in Wisconsin high school golf. Prescott High School, even though Ava Soleil has graduated, the two-time defending Division II state champion, has graduated to UW. The three-time defending team champs from Prescott are continue to lead the way in Division I, or I'm sorry, Division II, and they are coming off a really solid test up at the Bayport Pirate Invitational, where they finished sixth against all the top 10 teams from Division I. They shot a 334. And Layla Soleil, the freshman sister of Ava Soleil, was the low score for the Cardinals, and she shot a 76. But, you know, we're just getting going. There's a special event I wanted to mention, too, Gary, before we sign off today. It's the Coaches versus Cancer event at Maple Bluff this week. And used to be the Crusade for a Cure. And that Edgewood High School and Peggy Gearhart ran at Maple Bluff. They've kind of converted it from a stroke play event to a scramble. And it's the second annual Coaches versus Cancer, now being led by the coaches at Middleton and Wanakee. And it'll start at noon on Monday at Maple Bluff. Last year, 20 high school teams across the state helped raise $44,000 for the American Cancer Society. And that's on top of all the money they raised from the Crusade for a Cure the years before that. And so it'll be a five-person scramble. Some of the teams from around the state, Bayport, Brookfield Central, DeForest, Edgewood, Janesville Craig, Janesville Parker, La Follette, West, Menominee Falls, Middleton, Milton, Monona Grove, Notre Dame Academy, Oregon, Portage, Sun Prairie East, Sun Prairie West, Sussex, Hamilton, Toma, Verona, Watertown, and Wanakee, all dressed in pink. The driving range will be open at 10 a.m. lunch around 11. They'll share stories about how they raise money for this great cause around noon, and then the shotgun start at 12:30. And I tell you, you know, it's really cool to see high school kids giving back, especially to a great cause like the American Cancer Society.
Yeah, we've seen that in golf with the MAC Fund outing, another big tournament that raises tons of money for great cause. And I just want to go back to one thing you said a while ago, Rob, that struck me when you said Mark Olson's a first-year coach, which is technically true of the girls' team, but I think he's coached the boys' team for like 55 years now. So
he
does have some experience coaching high school golf.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And juggling when he was coaching, when he's been coaching the Westosha boys, juggling the Parkside men for all those years too. And before, he's got the indoor practice facility named after him there, and it looks as though they've taken to Mark quite well because they're performing at a high level. They shot 307, I think it was yesterday at the Bayport, Invitational, or 305 at the Bayport Pirate Invitational at Thornberry Creek. And that might have been their highest score of the four invitationals they've won. Going into that, they were averaging a 297. And
that's impressive.
300 is kind of that magic number, Gary, for golfing team excellence. And, so we'll see how far the Falcons can take this run, but, What do you got going this week, Gary? I don't know. I'm out of topics. We'll continue to follow Steve Stricker this week, and who knows where we might run into him. I might run into him out in Palm Springs when I head over for a LPGA Tour Q School. But you know, we're going to see him somewhere at some point, right?
Absolutely. And I want to plug one more thing, Rob, that I did that I just going to post to our site either Monday or Tuesday. And last Saturday, Rob, I went with I rode in a van with 12 youth caddies in Phil Poletti's Caddy and Leadership Academy, which we've written about. And Phil handpicked some of his best caddies, and they partnered with PGA Tour caddies this year who served as their mentors all summer. And it was fun to see these kids go down to Olympia Fields for the third round of the BMW. Most of them had never been to a PGA Tour event, so there was that. But also at the end of the round, they got to meet for the first time their mentor caddies. And it was great to see. I mean, Michael Greller mentors one of the youth caddies, Joe LaCava, who we talked about a little while ago, Austin Kaiser, Joey Greiner, some of the bigger name caddies that you hear of and certainly know their players have bought into this program, and just the relationships they forged with these kids through the summer, calling them weekly, doing FaceTime talks with them and answering questions about caddying, about life, about sports. It was really cool to see the kids interact. And that story, I took a bunch of photos, and that's going to post within the next couple of days here on Wisconsin.golf.
And we know how valuable caddies are. And, you know, the good ones at the PGA Tour level make great money. They're also very integral, especially this time of year, you know, when you look at the playoffs and these guys trying to grind for that, you know, that top spot and close out, you know, a great campaign. But certainly in the major championships, we've seen those relationships. But, you know, more and more as we see our audience here at Wisconsin.golf, you know, whether they're, you know, playing golf at Whistling Straits or Black Wolf Run, Erin Hills, Sand Valley, Century World, you know, all these great courses have caddies available, some, you know, in abundance, more than others. And we've talked to a lot of those caddies this summer, and it's a neat culture. And what Phil's doing is also, you know, a bridge towards a potential opportunity through the Evans Scholarship Fund to get your college education paid for at major universities throughout the upper Midwest and around the country. And I tell you, we know a lot of former Evans Scholar caddies who have gone on to do great things, friends of ours. And it's a wonderful cause. And what Phil's doing is just great in terms of bringing awareness to the opportunities that caddying provides.
Yeah, six of his caddies last year, Rob, earned full ride Evans scholarships, and they'll probably have another, you know, four, five, six caddies this year do the same thing. And it's a wonderful opportunity for these kids. Joe LaCava was telling me he sometimes worries about the youth in America, but then he meets these caddies and he sees how bright and talented and industrious they are, and you know, they take initiative, they're go getters, and he says it really makes me feel good about, you know, where we're headed when he sees young kids like this who want to work and want to put in the time and want to get better and do well in school and all those things. So it's a great program that Phil runs.
and certainly a lot of networking opportunities as well. And, you know, it's always fun when I hear, you know, somebody that's played at Sand Valley and is running to Adam Miller, or, you know, is caddy to Aaron Hills and run into a, you know, one of the many, you know, great players that compete in the events, you know, on the WSGA scene, you know, that we cover. And, so that's great stuff. So that'll post Monday morning. And, we've also got Gary's column from Wisconsin Golfer Magazine. You know, we're nearing the anniversary of, you know, another year of, you know, removed from Tiger Woods turning professional in Milwaukee, but many other, several other, professional golfers, that, made Wisconsin their launching pad. And last but not least, I'm not sure this will be within the next week, but, also in our vault, Gary D'Amato, we've got a Gary Van Sickle sighting. He's written something about a device called Zoom Broom. And, I'll just say this, if you've ever been frustrated about fall golf in Wisconsin because of the preponderance of leaves on the golf course, I believe Zoom Room might be for you. That is scheduled to post on September 4th from the one, the only, Gary Van Sickle.
The fertile mind of Gary Van Sickle. It's funny, Rob. I played Nagawaki a couple of weeks ago, and actually, one of the guys on my foursome talked about the Zoom Room and said he had heard about it, and he might buy one for playing fall golf in Wisconsin this year. So I can't wait to read Gary's column. I haven't seen it yet, parked in our content management system, but I think I'm gonna wait and I'll be pleasantly surprised when that pops up and I can read it.
You will. We'll be very busy between now and then because between LPGA Tour qualifying and then in a couple of weeks. You know, the college golf season starts with the Marquette Invitational. We've got the State Senior Open and then other things going forward. So just want you to know, check out Wisconsin.golf each and every day. And then every weekend, check back here for Talking.golf. Gary, appreciate your time, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, Rob, thanks a lot.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.golf on Wisconsin.golf.